There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th, and every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, our first guest of the week is going to tell us about her book, which is called Two Sisters: Betrayal, Love, and Resistance in Wartime France. Welcome to the show, Rosie Whitehouse.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Rosie. Now, we are talking about France in the war in 1940, but these were actually family members, I believe.
Yes, the book is about my mother-in-law, Marion Muller, and her sister, Huguette Muller.
And if it's your mother-in-law, I'm guessing that you found out all about her since you were married?
Actually, it was on our first date that my husband told me that his grandmother had been murdered in Auschwitz. It might be surprising to hear this now, since I've just written a book about her and her daughters, that at the time, our conversation didn't really linger on it. It was our first date and we had plenty of other things to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure.
The whirlwind of life took over, but it was only actually after my mother-in-law died that I really began to find out her story. Her story always intrigued me, and there were very sort of strange elements to it, that her sister had broken her leg on a skiing holiday in December 1943, just after their mother had been deported to Auschwitz. And I always thought it was a rather strange thing to go on a skiing holiday during the middle of the Holocaust, let alone the Second World War. But it was always sort of brushed away by a little swing of her hand, and the conversation moved on.
So did you find out what did happen then, how she broke her leg in 1943?
Yes, my mother-in-law was always, I wouldn't say that she didn't talk, she was reticent to talk.
Yes, I understand.
But Huguette, her younger sister, was always willing to talk and extremely vocal. The only problem is that she went to live in San Francisco in 1947, and she's extremely deaf. So apart from when she's been able to come and visit us, it's been virtually impossible to communicate with her over the years. But in 2019, we did go to visit her in San Francisco, and she made one last request as an old lady. She asked me, why did the doctor help me and hide me after I had broken my leg, ergo by saving her life and her sister's life? And why did other people help me? They showed her simple acts of kindness. A man at a station gave her some money. A station guard asked her if she was Jewish, and when she said she wasn't, he just completely ignored it. She said, why did these people help me? So I said, well, I can try to find out the answers. I'm a journalist. I write a lot about the Holocaust. And she also then asked me if I could find the family of the doctor, Dr. Petri, who had helped her during the war. She knew that he had died not long after the war, even though he was a young man. And I said to her, I'm sure we can find him. And the family turned out to be quite well known. He went on to be the mayor of Val d'Isère. Now, those of you who like skiing will know that Val d'Isère is one of the most famous and luxurious resorts in the world. And so, of course, Aunt Huguette was not hidden just any old place. She was hidden in Val d'Isère, right on the main street in the doctor's house. And I was able to find the family. And then she asked me if we could have him recognized as Righteous Among Nations. Now, Righteous Among Nations is an award that is given by the Israeli Holocaust Memorial Yad Vashem to people who were not Jewish, who helped Jews during the Second World War. And it's usually a really complicated process to apply try to get someone recognised as Righteous Among Nations. And we had to put together a whole dossier about exactly what happened. And my book grew out of that submission that we made to Yad Vashem.
And wasn't it just an act of kindness, Rosie? I mean, I know and I understand a lot of people were frightened during the war, but there were a lot of kind people out there that did hide Jews and non-Jews and you know, took care of them.
Yes, there were. And it's very important that we recognise that now, because what Huguette did by saying, find the family of Dr. Petrie, was that she took the spotlight off the victim, her mother, and she took the spotlight off the persecutor, in this case, the Nazi Alois Brunner, and she shone it on the rest of the population. And she said, what did everybody else do? Now, I remember there were hundreds of millions of people who lived in Europe during the Second World War. So it's very nice that we have about 5,000 or 6,000 people in France who actually did go out and do something. But it was a drop in the ocean. Let's always be aware of that. And this is the challenge for us in the present day, is what would you do to help somebody in danger?
And does your book go into that then, all the other people that were helped and saved?
It does, yes. Obviously, there are lots of stories along the way of different people who help people. But what really comes out of the book and came out of the research and surprised me was that we have this vision of Nazis as all powerful people we see marching around on our TV screens and in the big screens in the cinema. And we think there was absolutely nothing you could do to say no to them if they wanted to do something horrible to somebody. But in France in the Second World War, that was definitely not the case. And what public opinion matters. And I began to realise this more and more as I researched the book, that it was possible in France to say no and to stand up. So, for example, when the public made a fuss and the priests in the pulpits made a fuss, where after the summer of 1942, when thousands and thousands of Jews were deported to Auschwitz, then the government, the Vichy government, who were collaborating with the Nazis, decided they weren't going to allow any more deportations. And no one was deported from France for 3 months. It's really quite surprising when you see this, that actually what people had to say and what was written in the newspapers and what priests said in their pulpits could have an impact.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. We've just finished watching something about the war in Italy during the same time, and the priests and the locals, and they all just did what the Germans said, you know, because they were too scared. But I'm sure you're quite right, and that people did say no, and that, you know, it wasn't all encompassing.
Yes, and also we're talking about Italy. Let's give the Italians their fair due. They did say no in the most tremendous way when they occupied the area around Nice in Alpes Maritimes in 1942. And no Jews were deported from Nice until Germans took over. And that's where they caught my husband's grandmother. And that's when she was taken to Auschwitz. But in the year before, when it was under Italian occupation, it was an extremely safe place to be. Now, whether the Italians did that all altruistically is certainly in question. But part of it was the fact that they wanted to occupy and annex Alpes Maritimes, and they wanted to show that they were completely different from the Germans. But yes, it's a very important. It's a very complicated picture. Nothing in the Second World War is as simple as it seems.
Yeah, but you've brought another perspective to light, I think, in this book, and I think that's important. And you've also shone a light on the victims, because we don't get to hear about them so much as we get to hear about the Hitlers of this world.
That's true. And yes, for me, that was very important. And something that really struck me was that because the Nazis kept so much paperwork, that when I was looking into the convoy on which that Huguette and Marion's mother was deported on, I realised that you could actually identify the 50 people who travelled in the wagon to Auschwitz with her. And then I felt really guilty, because I thought, oh, I'm writing a whole book about Edith Müller, but what about these other people? No one's written anything about them. And so I included their names at the back of the book, because I felt, you know, that their story was no less important than our story.
Wow, that's incredible. Are you tempted to contact their descendants and write a book about each of them?
What I hope is that it's not the first time I've included a list at the back of a book that I've written. A few years ago, I wrote a book about an illegal immigrant ship that sailed with Holocaust survivors from Italy to try to break through the Royal Naval blockade of the Palestine coast. And I included a list of the people who sailed on the boat. And since the publication of that book, many of their relatives have got in contact with me and asked me more about their stories. And so it's a two-way process. So hopefully, maybe somebody will get in contact with me whose relative was in the same wagon as Adit Muller.
Yeah, interesting. We have to do this before it's too late, don't we? That's the problem. We have to find out as much as we can.
Absolutely. And, she's still alive, but she's in her 90s and she's very frail. So literally that conversation that I had with her in 2019 was the last chance saloon.
And was it just that who gets encountered nice people, kind people, or did you find out reasons why Dr. Petrie and the others helped her?
Well, Dr. Petrie came from Alsace-Lorraine, and we have to remember that Alsace had been occupied by Germany after the Franco-Prussian War and was part of Germany until 1918, when it was returned to France. And when it was part of Germany, the Germans suppressed French, and you were not allowed to speak French at school. And I think it was memories of this occupation that had made him very resistant to the pressures of the German occupation. But also, I think he was a man with a moral compass inside him. And that's what's so important about people who are righteous, is that one of the key things about them is that they don't make a fuss about it. They don't go around telling everybody, "Ooh, I hid all these Jews. I was so great." They don't say anything. Dr. Petrie never said anything to anybody. His daughter had no idea when I contacted her and said, "Your father hid my husband's aunt." She was like, "I'm not surprised," but he never mentioned it. This question of having a moral compass and having your inner strength, I think, to listen to that compass.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you mentioned, you are obviously a journalist. Have you written other books on this subject?
Yes, I've written a lot about the Holocaust, and I wrote something recently which might come as quite a surprise. I wrote a guidebook to the Holocaust, to Europe's sites, memorials and museums. You might think that's a rather strange thing to do. Not at all. I think it's a really important book because it looks at how the Holocaust played out in each country. And as I just said, what happened in France and what happened in Italy was radically different to what happened in Poland or Germany or anywhere else. And so the guidebook brings this out, really, that how the roles played out differently, but also how countries who were not occupied by the Germans reacted. So my guidebook includes obviously Sweden, and includes the UK, and looks at aspects of British policy, including the restriction of Jewish immigration to the Palestine Mandate.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. It's one of my favourite subjects to explore, and I think that it should be on the school curriculum. I don't know if it is, but I'm assuming it isn't nowadays with the youngsters, but I think they should all know what people went through.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more.
Well, I think you've done Marion and Huguette proud. I look forward to reading the book myself. Can I just ask you one more question? How do you do your research? I know you've managed to chat to Huguette, and obviously your husband's grandmother spoke a little bit, albeit a bit reticent. But do you just literally attack the internet and start doing research?
Attack the internet, find out more information, but also I'm what you might call a road trip historian. I just mentioned that I write guidebooks, but I'm also a journalist, and I know full well that you won't understand something unless you go there and you look at it with your own eyes. So I'm a great believer in getting my car and going to the place where something happened and asking the people who live there now, what happened? Do you know what happened?
Yeah.
It was through doing that, through driving around France and the different places which feature in the story, that that I discovered a huge amounts of information. And that's really radical, because it stops it being a history book or just simply a family history book. It makes it a book much about the present as it is about the past. And the past haunts French politics. And it is to be found everywhere, even in the tiniest villages in France.
Wow, how interesting. It must have been quite exciting putting it together.
Yes, it was. It was, well, obviously it was deeply moving, because it was very personal story to us. But also, you know, I went to some of the places which are iconic holiday sites. You know, I went, as I mentioned, to Val d'Isère. I went to Nice. I went to Cannes. This is where the story played out. So it gives you a completely different perspective to the Riviera than I think that you have when you're going there in the sunshine and you're swimming in the pool and you're...
Absolutely. Everywhere's got a history, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And I think I think everyone should take a copy of the book and read it on their lying out bed next time they go to South of France.
Yes, I agree. Well, the book for our listeners can be bought right now on our website, tre.radio. Click on the bookshop banner and you can buy it there. It's called Two Sisters, Betrayal, Love and Resistance in Wartime France. And it's by Rosie Whitehouse, who we're speaking to now. Rosie, if people want to find out a bit more of you and your other books, do you have a website or on social media?
I don't have a website, but you just literally put Rosie Whitehouse, maybe put in Rosie Whitehouse Holocaust I'll just come up on your internet, and I'm on Instagram and Twitter and Blue Sky.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for your time today, Rosie.
Lovely. Thanks for having me on the show.
Bye-bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.